Exodus, we've been touching on the Ten Commandments, and now we're at a transition. We're at that place where it goes from what did I do with my notes? Oh, thanks. I once went to an RBC, I was preaching there, and I had my notes kind of like this, and I lost them. Wow. And it turned out okay. It wasn't any worse or any better than any of my other sermons, but it was kind of amazing to go up there, really wonder where this is. And thankfully, I had actually thought through what I was saying, so I had it more or less in my head. And but now we're talking about honoring our fathers and mothers. And this is the fifth commandment. If you remember, the first four are really talking about our relationship to God. There's only one God, and have no other gods. Don't make any idols of that God. Don't dishonor his name. Use his name reverently and honor him through the Sabbath. Keep that Sabbath holy, a day of rest, a day of focusing in on him. The next ones are more about that's this relationship between you and God. The other one is about your relationship with your fellow man. The next five are talking about how you relate basically to your neighbors. I mean, that's basically what it's talking about. Horizontal. The first, by the way, and the two couple more interesting facts is the fourth commandment, which is, honor the Sabbath day or keep the Sabbath day to make it holy. And this commandment is honor your parents are the only two positive commands. All the other ones are negative. Don't do this. Don't make an idol. Don't lie, basically. Don't commit adultery. Don't, bear false witness. Don't have any other gods. But these two, this last one and this one, are positive. They're about your relationship to God. The fifth one is also a pivotal one because it transitions from a focusing on God to a focusing on your neighbors. And do you remember when we were asked, or when Jesus was asked by a rich young ruler, he says, what are the commandments I should keep? And Jesus said, well, you know what they are. And he goes through the second half of, honor your father and mother, don't lie, don't cheat, those kinds of things. And the reason Jesus didn't go over the first part of the commandments is because people can hide about, their relationship to God, but it's very hard to hide their relationships with others and humans on earth. And this one is really a pivotal relationship because of all of the duties that we have here on earth to our fellow man. The first and most fundamental relationship and duty that we have is toward our parents, which lies at the root of all of our social relationships and is the first relationship in which we become really conscious. It's the fundamental relationship that God created. He created man and woman, and then he created the family, and it's that context in which we are to live. And in this, as we read it, it's in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, it says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land that the Lord your God gives you. So that's it. We shorten it to usually honor your father and mother. So that's a very important one. There is a little bit more explaining to go on in other passages of Scripture where it says you're supposed to honor them. Don't curse them. In fact, if you curse them, the penalty is death. So there's a very strong emphasis on us honoring our parents. And that's in Exodus chapter 21, verse 17. Is the one where it says that whoever curses their parents will surely die. That's, remember that, Allison? No, I'm just since now we're all adults. I mean, now we're, we have grandkids and stuff like that. But this verse still very much applies to us. Now, even among non-Christian societies, the priority on the relationship to responsibility to your parents was very high. In ancient Egypt, if you didn't honor and reverence your parents, there is no way you were going to get into the afterlife. Just, you could kiss that goodbye. Anyone who, a disobedient son, they did not get into the afterlife, whatever that ancient Egyptians thought that was. In China, ancient China, they had Confucianism, right? These ways to live, following these little wise sayings. And he said that, taught that commitment and respect to your parents was an absolute requirement for a faithful, fulfilling, meaningful life. And even as adults, they thought you should venerate your parents. And what happened? Eventually, that turned into absolutely ancestor worship. You had to, obeying your parents was so much, you actually, and reverencing and honoring them was so important that that actually became reverencing and honoring and worshiping your parents after they died. You know, they would stick them, and that's very common in a lot of cultures where ancestor worship is done. Some places still drag them out every couple years, and they mummified them. And, you know, every 10 years they drag out all the dead relatives, set them up, and pretend to feed them. Then they take their mummified remains and stick them back in tombs wherever they were, and they were doing that. But what were they doing? Well, it's an extreme form of honoring your mother and father, a little too extreme. The Greeks, in their ethics, taught that the relationships between parents and child paralleled the idea of the relationship between God and man. And so, you know, that relationship of a leader and a guide and a person who is directing your life as a God was seen as, that's kind of like your parents. You need to have a relationship where you were honoring your parents. But probably the one that we most can understand is the Roman one, because we still kind of see it. In Rome, the father was given absolute authority and absolute priority in decision-making. Even when the kid was an adult, they had absolute authority over when the child, what the child could do. They could sell the child into slavery. They could kill the child if they didn't like him, and things like that. And he could, anything he wanted with his children at any age, he had the authority to do. And yeah, well, you know, and remember, what's Pope mean? Pope, father, right? Pope, Papa, father. And guess where that comes from? That isn't a Christian concept. That is a Roman concept. And he is seen having high and great authority. That's because they kind of accepted the Roman social structure or the Roman governmental structure, where the emperor and the pope was seen as the papa. In fact, the emperor was also called this kind of papa thing, where he was seen as the father of their society and given absolute control. So we see that a lot that it goes on. And in these societies, which was something similar to the Old Testament, parents were to be honored, respected, obeyed, and like I said, cursing parents would be considered a capital offense. So why do you think this honor should be given? Why does God start this? I mean, of all the things God could have put in those Ten Commandments and written down with his own finger saying, these are really the really important things I want you to understand. These are the relationships I really want you to get right. Why did he put this one there? Well, we've already seen. Everyone, historically, our cultures have said, this is a very, very important relationship for us to honor. And this honor is due our parents because of their unique position to their children. I mean, there really is no other one who has that position. Now, cultures have very often tried to replace parents and put something else there. I think we're seeing that in our culture, where they want to put schools in the place of parents. They want to put institutions in the place of parents. Sometimes churches want to come along and help parents, and then ultimately they try to take over the role of parenting. It's fine to come alongside to assist a parent, but inevitably, in the way our cultures or any culture or any activity of man works, is what started out as to being helping leads to controlling or replacing. And a lot of institutions try to do it. And the concern is, yeah, as flawed as those people are, very often when you build up an organization to help society deal with problems like bad parenting, they ultimately lead to more bad parenting. They don't fix the problem, and that's what's so disturbing about it. So let's look at this, and why do parents deserve to be honored? Well, first is at a very basic idea, in a certain sense, parents are the authors of our being, right? Our parents gave us birth. Our parents gave us life. God used them to give us life, and they deserve respect. They deserve honor for that very, very role that God has given to them. God has put into man an image, his own image, and that image was put into Adam, and that image has been passed on through them to us. And in a sense, we bear both our sinful image and our image of God through our parents. And so they deserve that. Second, not only are the sense that parents are our authors, but they're also our shelters and nourishers. I mean, if we went around this room right now and we said, who here has put their kid in braces? Right? How many doctor's bills have you paid for your kids? How much, if you told how much, just in the last year, how much money you paid on food, right, for your kids, or over the past few, right? That's the role of a parent, to pay for, to nurture, to protect, to shelter them, and provide for them. And that commitment should be recognized, right? It's just kind of common decency to recognize what has been done, that role. Not only as the one who, you know, gave us our being, the one who is sheltering and protecting us, but they also have the role of educator. And Scripture has a lot to say of this. But parents are the first educators of their children. They receive the foundation of their moral knowledge and spiritual training through their parents. Now, that's true whether the parents mean to do that or they don't mean to do it. It's true whether they do a good job or they do a bad job. It's the parents that first inculcate into those kids what morals are and what the spiritual understanding, you know, how the world really works. And if you've got a crummy attitude, a poor attitude, a sarcastic attitude, an ironic attitude, that gets passed on to your kid. If you have a hopeful attitude, a positive attitude, a faithful attitude, a trusting attitude, a righteous attitude, that gets passed on to your kid. So these things are extremely important. That's our role. Deuteronomy 6 says this. This is God talking to the people of Israel. These words which I am commanding you this day shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk to them when you sit down in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, and you shall bind them as signs on your hands, and you shall make them as frontals on your forehead, and you shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now, Jews literally do that, right? They literally put Scripture on their hands. They wrap it around their hands. They used to put little things called phylacteries on their foreheads of Scripture there. This was coming right after the Shema, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart and soul, body and mind." This is the section. And that's what they put in these little verses, right? And then he says, when you're asleep, when you're awake, whatever you're doing, when you're with your kid, and that's the context, what? You shall keep it in front and in your life. You shall keep it there, and you shall diligently teach this to your children, and you shall communicate with your sons and daughters. And it's to be incorporated into your life. I don't think it literally meant so much, put these things on there. It says everything your hand does should be guided by the Word of God. Everything you set before your eyes and how you see the world, both coming out and coming in, should be reflected by your understanding of who God is and what your place is in the universe and what He has for you. You should put it on your house and say, "This house is a house that's dedicated to the Lord." You're on your gatepost. It says when people come in and people go out, they should know that the people inside have the attitude of honoring and worshiping Christ. And an understanding of fundamentally how the world works is, for us, a Christian attitude, one where God is put in His proper place. Proverbs 22:6 tells us, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now that is not a promise, right? That is an observation. And the reason I say that is because I've known adults who have been heartbroken by adult children who have gone away from the Lord. And they've used this verse and they said, "But this is a promise. God said, I trained this kid up and now they're running away." Well, Proverbs aren't promises. Proverbs are observations. This is how the normal world works. This is how you are to live. This is how God wants you to live. But that is a very good proverb, saying if you train a child up, even when he is old, that training will stick with him and guide him, and he'll make wise choices. That's what it's saying. And so that's why this verse is so important. Honor your parents, because this verse is reminding us and telling us that relationship, you as a mom, you as a dad, you as a grandparent, you as a great-grandparent. Who's a great-grandparent here? Anyone yet? Not yet. No, you got a little while. So, okay, no great-grandparents. But you as a parent, you as a great-grandparent, you are a key influencer in the spiritual life of that child. You are a key influencer in the spiritual life of here, back then, of that nation. And God says, that's why this is so important. That's why I'm putting this in the Ten Commandments. Okay? Honor your parents. And that, because why? The parents were seen back then as someone who is teaching you, teaching the kids about how to live a godly life. That's the focus here. That's the reason. Finally, it's obviously the parents are the imparters of God's ways. They're the right learning. They're God's first teachers. And you are God's first teachers. We want us to be good examples. Proverbs 3 says this, Proverbs 3, 1 through 12. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. God wants us as parents to instruct those kids. God expects those kids to honor what you're teaching. That's why he's saying it. Honor what they're teaching, because my expectation is they're teaching you about me. The topics of ten. If you look in Proverbs, what are some of the key topics in Proverbs? God, wisdom, exactly, very good. Self-control, is that something kids need to learn? Okay. Industry, right? Hard work. Go to the ant, oh sluggard. Right? That's a great one. I love that one. How to choose wise friends. Right? That's a good one too. How to stay away from idolatry. Right? There's a lot in there about sexual misconduct. Okay? And that's something I think we tend to shy away from with our kids, but we need to be very upfront with it. Protect your body spiritually and sexually. Controlling of your mouth. Being generous, all of these things are in Proverbs, that God is expecting us to teach our kids, and then God's expecting those kids to honor by obeying it. The fourth is obviously is the role of authority. They are expecting to honor their parents because they're honoring the authority of the household, the leadership, the wisdom that the parents hold that we see. And fathers hold a position because God calls himself a heavenly father. And we as fathers are supposed to emulate, God. We're supposed to not obviously be God in that place, but when kids look at their father and God is talked about as a father in Scripture, we want them to see a good role model, someone who's kind and just and fair. We don't want to see someone who's wrathful and vengeful. Because what does Ephesians say, right? Children. Obey your parents, Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Right? Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And the very interesting, and then what's the next section? Fathers. What? Don't exasperate your children, right? Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's the last really point, is why is it so important that the kids honor their father? Because their fathers are seen as representations of God. And they need to understand that God is the authority figure in their lives, and God is the ultimate authority, and we want to reflect a godly example. So by honoring our earthly parents, we honor our heavenly Father who calls us and commands us to do so. So how do we do that? How do we honor our parents? You'll notice in this section there isn't any calling out. How do you actually honor your parents? The word is just the general word for honor, reverence. It's actually the word for weight, heavy. Treat them as something of worth, of value. Honor it. Treat it greatly. So in Ephesians, we see that Paul just starts out, and he's talking to younger children, young adults and children. In Ephesians, he says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he quotes this verse from Exodus. So he equates it basically with obedience. And we love this verse, right? Parents love this verse. Obey, 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 right? You kids, obey, because that's what God tells us to do. That's what we're told to do. And it's pretty straightforward, even though it's easy to say. It's kind of sometimes hard to do, especially for those who are getting older and they're starting to stretch their wings. But notice that there's almost like three phases or three stages that we have to go through as we deal with this verse. Because, again, it doesn't say children in this verse in the Old Testament. It says obey your parents. It doesn't say children, kids, babies, obey your parents. It says everybody should obey their parents. So how do we do that? Well, children have to obey, but the way they would obey would be different than an adult would necessarily honor. And it would be definitely different than we as now those of us who are getting grandparents and parents who are in this situation where they need a different way of honoring, right? So here, the first part, so how do we honor them? First is just obey, and that's what Ephesians 6:1 verse talks about. It's not about control, it's about discipline, because that's why right afterwards, it's connected with an and, by the way. Children, obey your parents, and fathers, don't drive them to wrath, but instruct them and discipline them. It's not about control. It's not about wrath. It's about instructing them. and making them like the Lord. That's the whole point. Giving them self-discipline and those skills and say, honor that. That's the first phase is obey. How do you obey your parents? Hopefully you do it with a good attitude. It was only Allison, or Allison's the only one in here in that role. But you can live that way. Honor your parents. Decide to obey, even when you don't like it. Because as you get older, and this is something I sit down with my kids and I remind them, as you get older, you are purposely, and it's built into your nature, you're going to want to pull away and spread your wings and be heading towards adulthood. And my natural tendency is to try to hold you back, just because I always picture you as being 10 years younger than you actually are, right? So we have a struggle here. I will confess to you right now, I will need reminding that you are getting older and your wings need stretching, but you also need to remind you probably think you're ready to fly sooner than you might really be. And let's work together to come out with where we need to be. But during this process, you trust me. I've been around a lot longer than you. You obey me like the Lord says, and we'll work through letting you get those wings fleshed out. The first one is obedience. The second one is honor, or just plain respect. And this means, this really, you know, once the child is out of the home, they're not necessarily going to come to you, and you're not necessarily going to go to them and try to dictate every decision in their life. Hopefully, by the time they're out there on their own, you've trained them in the way that they should go. They've got the basic skills to make good choices, because that's what it's all about, and wise decisions, and they're living in trust. But there's still going to be questions, right? There's still going to be, I'm not sure what to do now, Mom or Dad, and they'll call you, and they'll help you out there. So what do you do about parents when you're now in that middle stage? Well, you still honor them. You still incorporate them as part of your life. It's very easy. My mom, well, my father's dead. My mom is back in Arizona. It's easy to forget to honor them. And I don't mean just sending them cards on Valentine's Day or on their birthday. It's important that we honor them, respect who they are, respect what they've done, still try to incorporate them into our lives and seek their counsel and run ideas by them. That's very important. And that's a way we honor them and keep them in part of our lives. We're so spread out, it's easy to forget. What's the final phase? And that's the phase, I think, that we're seeing. Liz is starting to bump into now where we have to support them. But we honor them by beginning to have to take care of them. When parents get ill and sick and they can't take care of themselves, how do we honor them? We're there for them. We support them, right? That your father, when he was suffering this past several years, we're there to support them. We're there to help them. We're there to care for them, like your dad, you know? And now your mom is going, she's suffering, and our role has changed, right? Before, it was, we honored them by cleaning our room. Now we honor them maybe by cleaning their room. And that's just how the Lord has structured life. So where are you in your face, your position in life? How will you decide to honor the parents that you have? Even if they're gone before you, you can honor their memory in some way. But let's be thankful for the parents that we have. And even if they're not perfect, and we know we're not perfect as parents, we know we have a God who can help us day by day make wise choices and be good parents to the kids and grandkids that the Lord's giving us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this key position here in the Ten Commandments, one to honor our fathers and mothers. And we just pray, Lord, that we would always be honoring to our parents and that we would live lives so that when the parents honor us, they're really honoring you. We thank you so much for your word and how it should be transforming to any culture. May it transform us individually and as a country. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.